you would turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God, I thank you for your word that you've given us. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather together in your name to lift up your praise and to lift up our worship to you this morning. I ask you that you would continue to fill this house with your presence, that you would dwell in the midst of the praise of your people, that your word would go forth not void but with boldness, Lord, that you would speak through your servant and anoint your people's ears and hearts to hear the word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to continue our series of what do I have that God wants. This is week number 2. And last week we spoke about giving God our person, giving God our spirit and soul and body as an act of worship. We talked about being a living sacrifice and willingly giving ourselves over to the will and the work of God. And this week we're going to continue that, and we're going to talk about giving God our possessions. God is interested in how we handle the things that he gives us. And first of all, he wants us to be thankful with what he's given us. I got to admit, yesterday I was not feeling so thankful because I'm in the middle of moving all of my stuff. So we're getting a new house, and that first requires emptying all of your stuff out of the old one. And anybody that's been through that, which probably most of you have, that's exhausting. And you don't realize how much stuff you have until you have to go into every crook and crevice of your house and take it all out. And Sister Chrissy texted me yesterday, hey, what are you guys doing today? It's so nice out. I said, I'm moving. She's like, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm tired. And she says, God's just blessed you with a lot of stuff. I'm like, that's a really good way to look at it. And when I wake up from my nap, I will think of it that way. But God does bless us with stuff. And the first thing he asks of us is, says, I gave you something. I want you to be appreciative of it. And I want you to know where it came from. Okay, it's a lot easier when God says, man, I'm going to bless you. And when he sees you have a heart that says, all the stuff I have is yours anyways, then it's easy for him to bless us. But when he looks at us and he wants to bless us with something, he's like, whoa, they think they got this stuff for themselves. This might give them a big head. Maybe I got to teach them a few lessons before I give them a blessing so that way it won't ruin them, but it'll make them better. Just the same way we look at our kids. In everything that we do, we must always check our motives and examine our attitudes and our heart to determine if what we are doing is just for our selfishness, for us to have more stuff or to do better, or if we have a heart for the betterment of others. That's what God wants from us. And when we see everything we have, whether it's your stuff, your house, your family, anything that you have and you see it as this is a blessing from God, then we're going to see that the same way that God sees it, for the betterment of others. In no other area of our life are we more prone to wrong motives than in the area of giving. Usually we're motivated to give out of a couple of things. First is guilt. I have to give, right? We all know that one's wrong, right? Sometimes we still experience it, but we all know that one's wrong. Nobody needs to tell us that. Sometimes we give out of responsibility. I ought to give, or it's my duty. That's not quite as bad, but it's not the best way you could be. Sometimes we give out of need. I want to give because I see a need before me. And that is good. That is good to be able to meet the needs of others. God wants us to do that. He created us to do that. The fourth way is out of thanksgiving. God has done so much for me, I can't help but give because I'm thankful. That's the spirit God wants. He wants us to give joyfully or out of thanksgiving. And lastly, we give out of worship. I want to honor God and give him glory by giving. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian author, said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. Giving is not a matter of saying, I will give from what is left over. God wants you to give in a way where you trust Him and take Him at His word. Giving is an act of faith. That's how God wants us to give. An act of worship, saying, God, You said this. You said, if I will do this, You will do that. And I'm going to give, and I'm going to trust You that You'll hold up Your end of the bargain. Many people have a lot of ideas about giving, but there's one proven method given to us in Scripture that never fails to bring the blessings of the Lord into our lives, and that is tithing. Tithing is God's economic plan to grow His kingdom and support the work of the ministry. This morning, let's look at the simple example of giving called tithing that brings us great rewards. I got a little bit of an echo up here, brother. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, he says that we are to excel in some things, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. One thing that stuck out to me there is he calls it the grace of giving. We know that grace, different than mercy, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is favor that you don't deserve. And Paul calls it the grace of giving. Say, you don't give because someone deserves it. This is when God calls us to give, He doesn't call us to reward good behavior like we would our own children. God calls us to give because He would give. And God says, I give just because I love you. I give just because I want to see you better. I don't give only because I'm rewarding your good behavior. I want to bless you. And because you're my kids, I want you to bless other people the same way. The Lord also wants us to excel in faith. He wants us to excel in knowledge and speech, but He also wants us to excel in giving. Sometimes something that must be first grasped when we are checking our motives about this is God is only asking us to share what He already gave to us. Bob McCune, a member of U.S. Congress at one point, tells the story of the time he took his kids to eat at a local fast food establishment. As he and his kids sat down to eat, Bob smelled the fries in the front of one of his son's bags and reached over to get one. And to his surprise, the young boy grabbed his dad's hand and pushed it back and said, Dad, don't take my fries. McCune was stunned. He sat in front of his son in silence and wondered, what happened? Then the meaning of the moment became clear to him. He thought, my son doesn't know where those fries came from. He doesn't realize that about 5 minutes ago, I went to the counter, put my hand in my pocket, took out my money, and bought these fries for him. I am the source of those fries, and my son doesn't understand that if I wanted to, I could go over to the counter and buy a dozen orders of fries and cover him in fries. If I wanted to, I can go over to the counter, buy my own fries. What I really wanted was for my son to have a willingness to share with me what I had already given him. Now, you could also be saying Congress doesn't know where their money came from either and go right back at him, but his point still stands. I gave him something, and I just wanted him to share. I just wanted to teach him how to share. And that's what God says. I've blessed you, and I just want you to share with the people that I love what I have already blessed you with. And if you'll do that, His word promises us, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. And you won't have enough room to take all the blessing that I give you. And that's the point. God says, the point is not for you to take all the blessing I give you. The point is for you to share it. And when you'll do that, that's when I'll continue to pour out a blessing that you still can't contain. I'm going to bless you so you can give. So I can bless you so you can give. So I can bless you so you can give. That's where God's heart is at. It's not just to reward good behavior, but God wants to bless you so you can become like Him and continue to bless. When we are unwilling to share what we have already been given, it's like we're slapping God's hand and saying, don't take my stuff. More importantly, Scripture declares that when we do that, we are not just having a bad heart about sharing, we are robbing God. See, God sees you as an investment. Look here in Acts 20:35, says, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. God sees you as an investment. Okay? He invests His stuff in you to be a good steward. Now, the great thing about this is, of His investment, He's not going to come one day and just take it all back from you. He says, I just want you to share back with me a portion. I've invested in you, and I'm expecting a 10% return on my investment. God says, I put into you, okay, you're God's little 401k, okay? He puts into you, He gets His 10% reward on His investment, and He keeps pouring into you. The great thing is, the percentage never goes up. If you ever decide to up it, He ups His investment. But God says, I just want you to be giving with what I've given you. God wants us to ask ourselves, when was the last time we were blessed when we gave something away? And we all have those moments. If not, then try out the whole giving away thing. It really blesses you. Promise you, you can join the whole crew of knowing what I'm talking about. Do we really believe Jesus when He says it's more blessed to give than to receive? Are we taking Him at His word? Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it," or think on it, "day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God is at no point in His promises, folks, does He say, "Do this so I can leave you broke and helpless." There's not a single promise that ends with, "Follow my word and I will leave you destitute." Not one. I've read through a lot of promises of God, and never do they go that direction. God always says, "Do this so I can bless you. Do this so I can make you better." And you think, "Well, God, I don't want to follow all these rules that you've got, God." God says, "They're not rules. Okay? I created you for a purpose. I'm telling you your purpose." Okay? When you go and you go buy a Corvette, and I've used this analogy before, and I'll use it again because I love it. You go buy a Corvette, you can drive that Corvette wherever you want to. You can change the oil on it whenever you like. You can go change out the spark plugs whenever you like. But when you have an investment like that, they give you a little book that says, here's where this is intended and created to be driven. Here is how we create, how the parts were manufactured, and when we recommend you service the engine and you change the oil and you change out the spark plugs, and if you do this, this car will look really nice in 20 years, it'll run really great, and you'll still have a really good investment and its value won't have gone down so much. You don't have to follow these rules. But God says, I'm giving you a guideline because I created you, I know how you work, and I know that if you do X, Y, and Z, you will prosper. If you don't, you're free to do it your way, but you're not going to operate as well because I know, because I made you. And God loves us enough to say, hey, you know what? Every area of your life, I cared about. So when I wrote this book so that if you ever need to know what you should do to prosper, all you have to do is open this up. And if you're not really good at researching or reading, He put the thought in somebody's head to make Google. And you can search scripture about, insert topic here, and it'll help you find it really fast. But God cares about you, and He wants you to succeed. In Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 8, He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, because you say, in what way have we robbed you?" He says, "In tithes and in offerings." He says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And the scripture there says, you are cursed with a curse. Yeah, unfortunately, what that means is not that God sits up there and says, "You didn't listen. Bop. You didn't listen. Bop." But just the same way that when you go for, like, 40,000-50,000 miles and don't change the oil in your car, you're cursed with a curse of stupid. And you pay the price of that. And God says, if you do what I've taught you to do, and you will have a giving, loving, caring heart, and you look to make the purpose of your life to make other people's lives better, that's what I created you for, so you're going to do great. But if you want to sit over there and be like a little Ebenezer Scrooge and take, you weren't created for that. And your heart and your emotions, the way I made you, was not created for that. And you are cursed with the curse of your own doing. You know, we like to tell God, God, you don't know what you're talking about with money, okay? I went to my financial expert and they said da-da-da-da-da, okay? These are the same financial experts, though, that say, you know what, we're going to educate kids for 12 years, never teach them a thing about money, let them graduate and say, hey, why don't you take out a loan the size of a mortgage for your school, and you've never learned how to take care of money, and then we wonder, I got $150,000 in debt and I don't know what I'm doing, I'll never get out of it. And God says, maybe you should follow my money, realize that the borrower is slave to the lender. Maybe you should go work really hard, and if man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Maybe you should learn the lessons I've taught you about money so you don't end up trying to do it your way and killing yourself for the next 30 years. But God says, I have a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. I want to give you blessings more than you can handle so that you can give and bless others. And all you have to do is say, hey, God, what do you think about this? Just the same way you do when you're going through stress and anxiety about other things in your life. And you're like, well, God, I have this person who's really mean to me at work. How should I treat them? Sometimes we're really good at asking God those things. But then we get really doubtful of God's word when it comes to how we should handle raising our kids and our money and how we should handle fear of the unknown and taking leaps of faith. And God says, I promise you, I will have your back. Well, God, I trust you in the things that I can see a reaction to, like in the next day or two. But some of the stuff that might take a week or a month or a year, I get a little nervous that you're going to pay attention to me that long and keep your word. And God says, no. Okay? God says 1,000 years is like one day. So, you know, and on that sense, you guys are probably better at math than me, but what is a week to him? Right? He's like, that was 30 seconds. But God said, I will not forget you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I always come through on my word. But the scripture says that we are robbing God when we fail to give him that tenth of our income. Each and every time we get paid, God says, you give me a little bit, I'll give you a lot. And I love it here. He says, don't believe me? Test me. Right? He said, just try it. And then see if I won't follow through. If God says, you can always try it. If you don't like it, you do something different. And the great thing, too, on God's scale, is it's always the same percentage. God doesn't say, well, you got a lot, so I'm going to make it 30%. Okay? He's not Congress. I'm going to make it 35%. And I'm going to add penalty on top of penalty. And on the other end, he doesn't say, well, you know, you got to pay the same number as somebody who makes a lot more than you. God says, we're running on percentages. So that gives us all an opportunity. When God looks at it, he doesn't look at it as, well, you gave this much and you gave this much. He says, did you give the same portion? You know, the Bible tells us that there was the widow with the little penny, and she threw it in, and God said she gave more than everybody else. Why? She gave 100%. She had one penny to her name, and she gave it all. And God says, no matter what you give, I know what's in your heart. I know the reason you gave it. And God says, I would rather take this much from somebody who had a joyful heart, couldn't wait to give. They couldn't wait to get their paycheck so they could bless the kingdom of God, just so they can find out what Daddy's going to do for them. Right? God says, I want somebody who has some joy in their heart that wants to bless my kingdom. God says, if you give it out of, God said I have to, I don't want it. God says, I don't want it. I want you to give joyfully, not begrudgingly. He specifically says, don't give it to me if you're going to have a bad heart about it. Keep it. If it makes you that unhappy to bless the kingdom of God, I don't want your money. He said, but if you want to do it out of joy and you're excited for how I'm going to bless you, bring it on. And he promises you will never outgive him. The one thing he always says is, I will win. You want to get into a giving war with me, God says, I'll win. Try it. No other, you don't see God going through the Bible and saying, love your neighbor as yourself, and I'll bless you with peace and joy. Test me in this. He doesn't do that for any of the other blessings, but he says, test me in this one. And I wanted you to have a giving heart and see if I won't bless that. When he says test me, he says examine to prove. Try it out. Watch what I do with your checkbook when you give it to me. Just the same way that God says, watch what I do with your children when you give them to me. Because you and I are his kids, and he wants to bless us the same way we want to bless our own kids. He says, see if I won't be faithful in my blessings. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with all your possessions or wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The word honor means to be heavy. Are we weighing God down with our tithe and offering? Never thought of it that way, did you? Like, man, God's really strong. How can we outgive him? You know, the Israelites did that one time. They were building the tabernacle, and it said the people just kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. And finally, Moses had to get there and be like, y'all got to stop. We have nowhere to put this. Take it back. Take it back to your house. You gave too much. And you know what you don't read about after that? Wait, and that's got to be a lot, right? How many times have you guys ever seen a preacher get up and said, y'all gave too much, take it back? You've never seen that, right? It's only even recorded one time in the Bible. So we only know for sure it happened one time in the history of man. Okay? But what you don't read about after that, after they gave so much, you don't read about the people being destitute. What you do read about is shortly after that, God marched them right into a land flowing with milk and honey, with cities they didn't build, with crops they didn't plant, with animals they didn't raise. And God had somebody else cultivating a land for them, and he marched them right into those homes. And said, okay, here you go. You know what? Get rid of this city, and this city. Burn them to the ground. Okay? Get some bad stuff out of your life. And here you go. Here's a blessing. And you know what they gave? You know what they gave? The stuff they gave was stuff God gave them too. Because right when they were about to leave Egypt, God said, hey, go around and ask people if they got any spare stuff. And the people of Egypt were so happy to see them and their plagues leave, they just gave them things. So what they gave to God was stuff God had already given to them. Just the same way that when you and I were like, God, I need a job. And you ask your brothers and sisters and God, you said, pray for a job for me. Or you know what? In my case, I need a house, God. Bless me with a house. And God says, okay. And then he gives it to you, and then he says, you know, what he's going to want from me? He's okay, Nate, I gave you a house. Now are you going to use it for me? Are you going to have people over? Are you going to fellowship? Are you going to open your home to others? Are you going to do this and you're going to do that? And if I keep doing that, he'll keep blessing me. And with the people, when they got the stuff from Egypt, he says, okay. He let them enjoy it for a while. He says, okay, I want it back. Just to see if they would. And they came with a giving heart. And they gave it, and they gave it, and they gave it. He says, okay, in exchange for your trinkets of gold and your bracelets and the different things that you had that we turned into good stuff, I'm going to give you homes. I'm going to give you property. I'm going to give you jobs. I'm going to give you wealth and cattle and food. You have no idea what I'm going to bless you with on this. But God always blesses larger than we bless him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The awesome thing here, God says, you get to choose how much of a blessing you get. That's pretty incredible. God says, all right, you know, we get taught when we're kids, God's not just a vending machine. You don't just go up there and, God, I need, I need, I need. And that's true, right? We don't just come to him and ask, and then never give. God wants the giving heart. But when you have a giving heart, he says it kind of is like a vending machine. right? When it comes to this thing of giving, whatever we give, he'll give back the same portion. So in your life, you know, if you're like, well, I got this much and I'm going to give that much, and God says, okay, I'm going to give that much, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And if you're like, I got this much, and I'm going to give this much, God says, well, I'm going to give that much back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, whatever is your heart, if you're like, hey, how much can I bless God's kingdom? And God says, well, let me see how much I can bless you. And then if you come with, man, how much do I have to give to still be a good person this way? Like how, you know, but can I take 20 off and still be good? And then God says, well, that's how I'm going to treat your blessing. Where your heart is at, that's where your treasure is. So I'm going to bless you in the way that you would bless somebody else, because I see how you bless my kingdom. But God says, if you come in with that heart, you're like, man, I can't wait to bless the kingdom of God. I promise you, folks, whenever I have had God just kind of put it in my mind, like, hey, you should give this much to this. And I'm like, honey, I think God just said this. Are you okay with that? And since I married a good woman who loves God, she always says, yep, as long as we got it, we can eat tomorrow. All right, God. And every single time, within the next week or two, God has blessed me. And when I sit down and I look at it, every time it's like 10 times what I gave him. And I'm like, God, how in the world? I didn't even think of that possible way to bless me. You're really creative, God. He really is. And a while back, I don't want to get too personal, but just to give you an example, okay? God outdid himself. But a while back, God was like, I want you to give $1,000 to this. And I'm like, all right, that's cutting it pretty tight, but okay, you said so. And honey, are you okay? As long as we can eat. And then God saves me $45,000 on my house. Not bad, God. Not bad. But God says, do you have a giving heart so I can bless you? If I bless you, is it going to be a curse? Because you know what? Because God loves you too much to bless you with something that's going to hurt you. He won't do that. It's not because he doesn't love you and you're a bad kid and you didn't listen. Okay, God doesn't need your money at all. He doesn't need any of it. And the only reason he asks you to share is to teach you a sharing heart so you can bless other people who do need it. And if God looks at you and says, you haven't quite mastered that sharing, giving heart, and if I bless you with this, it's going to ruin you, then he won't do it. And you've seen that with your own kids. If I bless them with this PlayStation, they won't do their homework, they won't do their chores, and they'll be worthless adults. So I'm not going to bless them with this PlayStation. My dad knew that about me, and he said, you want a PlayStation? Go work for it. And I had to go work and save up. And you know, when you're 14 and saving up and working for it means doing something to pay you $10 here and $15 there and saving up your birthday money for the next year, that takes a while. And so when you finally get that PlayStation, you're like, phew, yeah, don't break it. Don't break it, because I can't afford another one. That'd take me another year and a half. It'd be a new version of a PlayStation. And then you work that hard for it. And he's like, okay, you've been playing for an hour. You're done. And if any of you who play video games know that ain't long. That's long in dad time. That's not long in teenager PlayStation time. But dad, like, I was kind of just got started. I just got my player created in NBA 2K. Well, that was your time limit. You're done. But he won't bless us with things that are going to ruin us and rob our time and take us away from his kingdom. He says, I will stop up the windows of heaven, and I'm blessing you by saying no. But if you can have that heart that when I bless you, you're going to bless other people, that's where God wants you to have that heart. He teaches us by sharing with him, just the same way that dad taught his kid by sharing his French fries. But it was to teach him the heart so that way when he goes out, he can bless other people. And that's where God says, I have other children who need you to have a giving heart and need you to not be focused on yourself. And I'm going to teach you that. And that's why God chooses to fund his kingdom through his people rather than just dump it out. right? He could just put it on billionaires' hearts to just drop $100K a year, $300K a year, $1 million a year on the churches. He could do that. That's in his power. But he would rather teach you and I to have a giving heart and to bless his kingdom. And in fact, he talks to the church in Corinthians and he tells them, he's like, yeah, I'm over here at this church in Macedonia and, you know, they are giving more than they have. They're pouring out their hearts. And he's not calling out the church in Corinth. He just keeps talking about how awesome these guys are over here. And the reason he does that, if you look into it, the church in Macedonia, they were broke. Okay? The Bible actually says, like, they were super deep in poverty. Not just like they didn't have any money. Like, they had nothing. And these people that had nothing were outgiving the people in Corinth. Okay? Now, Corinth would be like, you know, like one of the big cities in America today back then. Okay? They were right on a good line for trade. They were a port city. They had all this going for them. They had money more than they knew what to do with. And Paul's like, I just want you to know these broke people over here, okay, living down in the sticks in West Virginia, they're out giving you over there in Chicago. They are giving way, they're giving, we had to stop them from giving because they literally gave too much. I guess it did happen twice. Paul's the second preacher. He said, we had to stop. They gave more than we could take with us. And the people in Corinth are sitting there like, wow. But we have a lot more than they do, and we don't have the giving heart. But we also see all the other problems going on in Corinth. There's some nasty, I'll let you read it for yourself, it's gross. There were a lot of problems in that church, okay? But it was a lot of problems of people's hearts. Their hearts were focused on themselves, and because of that, they were treating each other very improperly. They were being rude. They were sleeping with each other's wives. It was messed up. And Paul said, y'all got some problems, but it starts in your heart, in your what your heart is focused on. If you're focused on yourself, then everything you look at is going to be, I need, I need, I need, I want. And folks, we weren't called, as God's children, we weren't called to focus on ourselves. We're called to focus on the world around us. That's the mission God gave us, is bless other people, tell them about me, show them me. Okay? When he says tell the people about Christ, folks, people don't care what you say. You know that when you tell your kids 15 times clean up their room and they don't listen until you take something from them or spank their butts. They care what you do. So when God says, go tell people about me, he's saying live it. Live it for them. Let them see it. We're not perfect, folks. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do stupid. We're going to pay that price in our life. But how do we handle it? When we get back up, do we get back up and do we keep trying? Do we get in a rough place and say, well, I'm done. Forget about it. Or do we make ourselves available to help and bless others? Do we make ourselves available to be helped and to be blessed? You know, I forget who first started saying it, but a lot of us say to each other now, well, you know, hey, don't rob me of a blessing. I don't need it. Don't rob me of a blessing. Okay? If you give me a chance to bless you, God's going to bless me back. I'm not worried about that. It's not like I'm giving you something I'm never going to get back. God's going to take care of me. God's going to bless me. And if we make ourselves available to be blessed instead of when we get in a rough spot, we pull away and we isolate ourselves so the enemy can just take us apart. Or do we say, hey, I'm going to stay around the people of God so God can continue to bless me. And God can lift me up. He can be that good father through his people to me. He can watch over me. He can have my back. But that's what God wants us to have, a heart that looks at that, a heart that focuses on other people. In the book of Acts, we see a huge revival, folks. We see God going, we see him spreading the gospel not just to the people he chose in Jerusalem, but we see him spreading it across the world. And the way that started, right in the beginning of Acts, right after God poured out his Spirit, Acts 2:44 says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They were giving so much that everybody, they're just like, hey, we're putting it all in a pot, whatever we got to take to serve the kingdom. And God's not calling you to sell all your homes and all of us move into a commune, people, okay? We did something like that here, and people would be like, stay away from those folks. Yeah. And you wouldn't be telling nobody about Jesus. They'd be like, stay away from them. But in a time where it was all hands on deck, the only thing we care about right now is getting the gospel out there. And that should be our mission for all of our life. Every decision we make in life should be focused on, does this bring me closer to Jesus? But they had a heart that said, whatever I have to give, that's the principle. Whatever I have to give to see someone saved is worth it. It's why when you look at a decision, you're like, am I giving too much here? And you say, how much would God give for a soul? Right? How much do I have to bless? I mean, you don't want to pour yourself into somebody who doesn't really want to hear it. But if you have somebody who really wants God, and you can, and you know, because you've been there too, and you know when you're being a straight-up hypocrite, right? And you know when other people are just pretending to want God and they don't. But you also know that person who's really hungry for God. And you say, whatever amount of my time I have to give to help them, to bless them, to bring them closer to God, whatever of my money I have to give to bring them closer to God, would God say it's worth it? Yes, He would. And if He says it's worth it, that means He's going to bless you back above and beyond what you first had every single time. But they had a heart that said, whatever it takes to tell people about Jesus and to reach them, I'm willing to give it. And when we can have a heart that says, God, it's not my stuff, it's yours. I'm using it while you put it in my hands. And then when you want it back, I'll give it to you. That's what's really cool, by the way, God. God asks you for your used stuff. God gives you stuff, lets you use it for a while, asks you for it back, and still counts it at full value. It's not my economic plan, but I'm also not God. So you're lucky I'm not God. I'd be like, all right, I need that back now with interest. But God is asking us to make our starting place having a giving heart. Is your starting place having a giving heart? 2 Chronicles 31:5 says, as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. If you're asking, well, when God asks me to give, is He asking me to give off the gross or the net? And again, God says, you determine the size of your blessing. What God's main goal here, folks, is not that He's counting it out and like a waiter checking your tip and seeing if you really gave the full 17% or 18 or 20 or what you really gave. God says, I want to know, am I the leftover at the end, or did you put me first? That's where God wants, that's all God cares about, is where did He fall on your priority list? Did you say, my first thing, the most important thing I'm excited about is giving to God? Or did you say, well, God, I had 20 bucks. No, I got to buy a Whopper for lunch. I have 15. God says, am I there, or am I, man, I have been waiting all week for payday so I can give God this just to see what He does. And you're like, Nate, that's crazy. Nobody does that. Maybe not. Maybe more of us should. But if God says, I'm going to bless you, and He gives me an opportunity to get that blessing, I'm excited about it. I want to see what God is going to do in my life because He always comes through. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's God's whole point. That's God's whole point. Where is your treasure? What do you get excited about? What do you jump out of bed excited to do in the morning? God says, does it involve me? When somebody agreed to have a Bible study with you, do you get excited about the chance to tell them about your God? Do you get excited about it? You get so excited, you get nervous, and you're really like, God, help me do this right. I don't want to mess this up because it's important to me. Is that where you're at? Is that where God falls in your heart? Because that's what He wants from you. And people say, well, where should I give to? When I'm giving to God, where should I give? Very simple answer. You give where you're taught, where you're fed the spiritual things. The Scripture tells us that if the preacher has given you the spiritual things, you should bless him with the carnal things. Meaning that, hey, he's devoted his whole life to serving and teaching you spiritual things, least you can do is feed the guy, right? If you, where you go and where you meet to have church, to fellowship, you should probably help pay the light bill. Because turns out, Cleveland Public Power, the Cleveland Water Department, Dominion, East Ohio Gas. Those guys don't give stuff for free to churches. They don't say that. Don't worry about your electric bill. You're teaching people about Jesus. It's all good. They don't operate that way. But you should give where you're spiritually fed. A funny example about that would be if you were to go down here to KFC and you were to order some kind of meal and wait 3 hours to get your food and pay, and they get to the thing, they hand you your food, and you're like, that's cool, I'm going to take the 20 and give it to McDonald's. And they'd be like, what? Sorry, McDonald's did not make this food. Well, you were out of chicken anyway, so I've heard that happen way too many times. But God says, you give where you're fed. You bless those who are blessing you when it comes to your giving. Now, the awesome part here, what can I expect as I give God my stuff? I can promise you when the Lord says he'll pour out a blessing on your life, he always does. And the great thing about giving your stuff, okay, he's like, well, you say God doesn't need my stuff, so why does he want it? Again, it's about your heart. God says, where your treasure is, there's your heart. If you'll give him your treasure without fighting him on it, without a bad attitude, then he knows I have your heart. More importantly, you know he has your heart. You've shown yourself that. The great thing about giving God your stuff as opposed to the other promises in your life, God says, well, you know, if you'll give your tithe, I'll rebuke the devourer. If you'll give your offering, I'll bless you abundantly. If you'll honor me, you'll trust me, I'll give you peace. The great thing about giving God your stuff is it's tied into your heart. It's tied into everything of who you are. And when God says, I'll pour out a blessing, he's not just saying, I'm going to increase your bank account. He will do that too. He's not just saying, I'll keep your car running because that's part of your stuff. He'll do that too. But also when he's got your heart and he changes your heart, that's not just going to impact you. That's going to impact your children and your family. And people are going to see something different in you. And that's going to impact the ones you love because it's changed who you are. And you impact them differently. God says, I will bless everything about you if you'll give me your treasure. Again, it doesn't mean he's going to come take it all. But it means that I'm going to bless you. Everything in who you are. Let's stand. When we give God our first fruits, he's going to bless. But the thing we have to remember is that we are children of God, folks. And while we may not have every single thing we need or we want, we do have the things that we need. And God says, I'm not going to leave you destitute. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you begging for bread. I'm going to take care of you. But he also says, the more you have that giving heart, the more I can bless you on top of what you actually need. And we have to remember, we are not poor. Okay? I heard it said the other day, poor is a state of mind. Sometimes I may be broke, but I'm never poor. But when you have the King of Kings as your Heavenly Father, you're not poor. If you have a heart of giving, you're not poor. There may be more things that we want, but God says, if you will honor me, I will honor you. I will bless you. I will take care of you. So folks, when we leave here today, we go back to this week, and we're going to spend a lot of time with our family and our friends over today and tomorrow. I want to encourage you to ask God, God, help me be more like you. Some of us are farther along in this than others, and some of us think we're farther along than we are or don't think we're as far along as we are. But ask God, God, help me see where I am. Help me see in your eyes, what can I change in my heart that I can be more like you and that I'm not holding something back from you. And God may say, you know what? You're good. I highly doubt that because he wants us to be more like him. And let me tell you this. If God says, you're good, you weren't listening to God. But ask God, God, how can I be more like you? Help me change my heart and line my treasure up with you. Amen.